Welcome to episode 44, I think, of the TM podcast. Yeah, you see, we increased our frequency now being on Spotify, but still also on the traditional channels. Today, we have a very nice and broad, I think, a topic. Today, we talk about freight unit planning in the transportation cockpit. It sounds pretty like a specific topic, but you will see it's quite a wide area to talk about. And we have two special guests for the topic today. I want to welcome Jens and Lars. Could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Jens. I'm a product owner responsible for transportation planning, which includes the cockpit.
Yes, hi together. My name is Lars, and yeah, I'm a developer in the planning team in the transportation management. And yeah, it's will be my pleasure to ask some questions today. So,
thanks a lot. My name is Bernd. I'm one of the architects in the in the order management team, which is only working with the results of planning. And I'm also here today for asking questions. So, as mentioned, Jens, we talk about freight unit planning in the transportation cockpit. I think that already needs like three definitions. So it starts with, okay, what is a freight unit?
Yeah, good question. Freight unit basically represents a transportation demand in TM, and it's specified by a source location, by a destination location, usually by some requested pickup date and delivery date. It also includes the goods to be transported, so many product items or a pallet. And usually it's quantified according to its volume and weight, so that you know how big are the goods that you want to transport. And a freight unit can be created out of deliveries, sales orders, or from a stem from a forwarding order. So there are many input sources for a freight unit. And then for planning, the freight unit is the central demand document that has to be planned.
So you could say it's kind of a normalization. So you said it can have a lot of different sources like sales orders or forwarding orders. And one of the objectives of the freight unit is to make it all one object, even if it comes from different sources. And it also defines source destination and also how much needs to be transported, right?
So yeah, that's, it's a kind of abstraction from all those other transportation demands or those sources. Within TM, you can focus on the freight unit, actually. So when you plan freight units, you don't need to care about, does it come from a forwarding order? Does it represent a delivery? And so on.
It's a freight unit in the first place. I think if you want to deep dive into that topic a bit more, you as a listener, not Jens. Jens already dived deep enough, I think. There's a podcast episode, I think it's a second one, explaining a bit about the freight unit, how to build it.
And some stuff. Basics.
The basics of the freight unit as a freight unit. Okay, thanks a lot. Yes. I think it's also worth mentioning that there are specific scenarios where this original demand is already something like a package, and then instead of a freight unit, you could have as an original demand also a package unit. The freight unit, I think today, stands like a representation for all those original demands, so to say, right? But that original demand is a bit of a fuzzy word, so we call it freight unit, yeah, right?
Okay. Yes. Okay.
All right. So, the topic is freight unit planning. So we explained, you explained a freight unit. What is a freight unit? So what's planning in this context?
Yeah, planning in general, and that's not only relevant for transportation management, but within supply chain or any other domain as well. It's decision making. You usually have some demands, you have some capacities, and you want to match the demands with the capacities. And basically, it's a kind of assignment. So you assign your demands to certain capacities, which in TM could be trucks, for example. And the result of that matching, it's basically a plan. So the plan specifies how to assign demands to capacities. And that's basically planning in general. There are several levels of decision making that play a role, and I think we should have a closer look into the different dimensions where you can make decisions. So how to plan.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about these decisions and
In the case of a freight unit, we can have really many different decisions. And that's why it's really important to have a look at that first. So if you have a freight unit that goes from A to B, the first decision that you need to make is, do you want to transport the goods directly from A to B, or do you want to bring them from A to a hub and then from the hub by another truck to the destination? Maybe you even have two hubs which play a role, which could be the case if you transport goods from Germany into the US. Then you may want to decide what's the source harbor and the destination harbor. So that's the first decision that we have to make. How does the freight unit, the goods, flow through the hub network? And as a result of such a decision, the freight unit is cut into consecutive stages. And going back to this Germany-USA example, you could have a freight unit which has originally one stage from Mannheim to Chicago. And after introducing the hubs in Hamburg and New York, you would have three stages, one from Mannheim to Hamburg, one from Hamburg to New York, and one from New York to Chicago.
Okay. That's all the sequencing decision. I think, is there a limit? So how many stages would be maximum? Do we have any limitations? Or
I think there are some parameters. So the TM contains logic to determine the paths through the hub network. And you can limit that to one or two from the source and one or two from the destination. You could also use higher limits, but then the planning complexity gets bigger.
If you want an automated planning.
Yes. But I think manually you can inject as many intermediate hubs as you want. I think in many cases, no hubs are used. In such intermodal cases, like mentioned, I think usually you have two harbors in between, maybe two additional hubs on the road. But I think you wouldn't want to transport through 15 hubs.
Okay. I think I even heard that. I think we had one customer visit where I think they talked about like 15, 16 stages just throughout the US. I was just impressed, yeah. But most likely it's not an one-step optimization. Okay, but that's only the routing decision. Mm-hmm. So this is really, okay, what are the logistical kind of cross-docking points that I need to visit? It's pretty clear that I have to go through that port, but it's okay.
So
but it's
like
not clear, sorry, it's not clear how to get to that port, right? Yeah. But it's not just the fact that I have to get there.
Exactly. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's like a predefined hub network, as you said. So these important steps.
I think it's important to know that the stages of that freight unit, in the end, you always would change the means of transport on that freight unit stages.
That's the common case. And I think usually if you introduce hubs, you do that because you change either the truck or the means of transport at those hubs.
Yeah, like a harbor.
Oh. Exactly. Yep.
Okay.
I think the next decision to be made is, once you know which hubs you want to use, the question is, if you have many freight units that go from Mannheim to the port in Hamburg, then the question is, could we consolidate them? So if we have three freight units that would together fit into one truck, why sending three trucks instead of consolidating them into one truck? So that's one consolidation decision, which is about assigning freight unit stages to one specific freight order or truck in that case.
Okay, so that's the next question. So, okay, I think the first question is already how to get it. So we already said, okay, I go by truck. I could also go maybe by train, or could go with a big or small truck or a refrigerated truck. Or so that is one part of that decision. And the second one is, okay, can I combine it with something else to be more efficient, to be as a smaller carbon footprint in the end, so to get the resource utilized as good as possible, right? Is that, that's the
yeah the main purpose of such consolidation is to save costs. Of course, it's also better for our environment. And in the end, it's all about maximize the utilization on the trucks, which leads to less transportation costs and less pollution.
Yeah, okay. So that's the consolidation decision.
Exactly. So
And I think maybe as a outlook already, I think that is something that we will then later on also really focus on all the options to get there. So because also for the first stage, what you described, there are different options how to get there, but that's not the focus of today.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hmm? Okay. Let's see.
So when you are done with the consolidation part, what comes afterwards?
So in the example I mentioned before, it was several goods from Mannheim to Hamburg that could be consolidated. Now, if you also have some goods that originate from Frankfurt or Heidelberg, and they also have to go to Hamburg, you could also consolidate them into one freight order to save costs. And in that case, you would have a freight order which covers multiple source locations and one destination location. And if you do that, usually you also want to minimize the total mileage used. So coming back to that example, and if you know German geography a little bit, you wouldn't go from Heidelberg to Frankfurt, back to Mannheim, and then to Hamburg. Instead, you would start the trip in Heidelberg or Mannheim, go to Frankfurt, which is on the way towards Hamburg. So that's something which we call the routing decision. And the routing decision is very important to minimize the total distance and to save time because the truck needs less time on the road.
And that's in the end, you could say the routing decision is the sequence of stops, or because stop as a combination of times and geography, so locations, that's the routing. And I think it's important to, again, we talk about stages of the freight order, but if we have a freight order with many of those stops, that doesn't mean that all the freight units also need to have all that stops. The freight unit still only needs to go from Hamburg or from Frankfurt to Hamburg, right? So even so, if there's an intermediate stop, that would not affect the freight unit. Is that right?
Yes, no. That's perfect. Exactly. So basically, the freight order determines the sequence when all those freight units have to be picked up and delivered. But the freight unit remains the freight unit. It is the original transportation demand, which has still one source and one destination. In this example, we talked about three freight units. They all have the source in Heidelberg, Frankfurt, and Mannheim, and the destination they all have in Hamburg. So three freight units, each having one source and destination. But the freight order would have three pickup locations and one destination location. So the freight document, the freight order, is a document that you can give to your own fleet for execution purposes, or you give it to a road carrier for execution purposes. And that actually defines how all of them are executed together.
Mm, okay. And then the sequencing of it, of course, it could have and if you optimize that, it can be an optimization in terms of shortest distance. But if you have very strict time windows, you may deviate from that or so. And all that is what we call the routing decision, right? And again, that's nothing we would focus on today, just mentioning it. Okay.
Yeah, but the main point that you mentioned is that a freight unit has just one source and one destination location. Or the same.
A freight unit stage has one source and destination, and a freight unit could have multiple stages, each having one source and destination. And overall, if the freight unit covers five locations, it would have four stages. So all they're right. All connected. Yeah. It always goes first stage from A to B, next stage goes from B to C, next stage goes from C to D.
And this consolidation decision, as we talked about earlier, if I got it right, needs to be done per freight unit stage and not per freight unit. So if I have the described three stages, I have to do that decision at least logically three times. Of course, I could do that with one engine or so, but again, it's per freight unit.
Internally, stage. It gets calculated. Yeah,
separately. And I think the main idea, this freight unit stage concept, is very important because you may want to consolidate different freight units on the first stage, for example, for the transport within Germany, compared to the consolidation that you can do on the ocean. So maybe different freight units need to be combined there.
That's a very good
and
point, yeah.
In the US, you also may combine different freight units.
So I think in your example, then you mean that our freight units that we talked about would go to Hamburg, but that's not the final destination, but they go then to the US. Then so you consolidate them on the way to Hamburg, and then in Hamburg, you put them onto a container. So they may stay together, but with different consolidation document. And then in the US, they are distributed again, because it's again separate stages, then from, let's say, maybe New York to Chicago and Boston, and then they would split up, right? So
yes.
The per freight unit stage. Okay, that's.
And I mean, in the extreme case, you could have freight orders that come from South Germany to Hamburg, others from East Germany to Hamburg. Maybe they are then differently spread across two different ocean bookings, one to New York, one to Charleston in the US. And within the US, the freight unit stages could even be cut differently. Like there are some freight unit stages that get consolidated towards the northeast of the USA, and others go to the western part of the US. So it is very important that the freight unit stage concept allows on every stage to consolidate with different other freight unit stages.
Okay,
that's very important to save money overall.
For getting the optimum.
Exactly.
And I think also one important point for me as a BO guy is that this one freight unit stage can, let's say, normally be assigned to exactly one capacity. So you assign that stage to one freight order, not to two in parallel. There's only one exception, and you may here listen to the packaging episode, I think 41 or something like that. There we made an exception, and we also explained why, but that's really only between freight units and packages. But let's say for today and in the general case, such a requirement, freight unit stage is assigned to exactly one capacity document, what we call like freight order, freight booking that you mentioned earlier. Okay, then we can close the brackets here. Maybe coming back, so we said we now talked about the consolidation decision, and as it's so important, we return to that consolidation decision. Then we also covered the routing decision. More decisions or enough decisions for today?
Not enough.
Not enough. Still.
So the routing decision defines the logical sequence of the locations where the goods need to be picked up and then delivered. But this isn't sufficient, because you could start the trip in the morning at 8 or in the afternoon or tomorrow or the day after. So there are many more options, which we refer to the scheduling decisions. Scheduling means you have a freight order with certain activities, and the task of scheduling is to assign start and end dates and times to each individual activity that is happening in the freight order. And I think there is a separate podcast already available on scheduling. But just for the sake of completeness, you have, in the example within Germany, you would have a loading activity in Heidelberg, a loading in Mannheim, a loading in Frankfurt, and an unloading in Hamburg, plus you have the travel activities between the different stops. And these are the activities, and for each activity, you need to specify the start time and the end time. And that's done by scheduling, and we call that the scheduling decision. And you may ask, the scheduling decision doesn't have an impact on distance. That's true. But it may have an impact on the total duration that you need from the very first start time to the very last end time. You may have some time windows. You may have opening hours. You may have cutoff times. So there are lots of time constraints. And scheduling tries to consider all of them so that you get a meaningful and executable start and end times, which are very important if you want to tell your truck driver to execute that freight order, he needs to know when to start. So that's another.
I think that's a topic you could talk like 1.5 hour about or so, and so did. And I think that was episode 42. It's one to deep dive into scheduling. It's a lot of aspects, and I think it's closely related also to the routing, obviously. So it's not an independent a decision, but it's a very important aspect of it for sure. And something you can really dive deep into. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
More decisions.
Yeah. So suppose we have an own fleet and we want to transport within Germany. The question is, which truck should I use? So I could choose among my 200 different trucks that I operate. If I don't have an own truck fleet, I may want to decide about the truck type. So if I do subcontracting and ask a road carrier to do the job for me, maybe the road carrier offers a small truck, a medium truck, and a large truck. And depending on the total volume and weight that needs to be transported, I may choose the smallest one that is able to transport all the goods that I have. So we call that the resource assignment decision. It is about to choose the right truck type or the right truck resource.
So basically, means, to choose the cheapest one, right? Or
normally, you would do the cheapest one. And if you have many sources, many destinations overall, sometimes locally it could be better to use the biggest trucks because then they have the best cost to value ratio.
Yeah.
In a nutshell, you would always try to use the cheapest one, but sometimes it's better to use a bigger one because it can consolidate more and then you save more.
And the cheapest, that's always like a relative term, so the cheapest one that can fulfill the requirements, like if capacity, if I need a large truck already for one freight unit, I cannot use the cheapest truck, even so it's cheaper, it's too small. Or if I have special requirements, like I need to chill or heat or whatever, so special requirements to transport the goods, so then let's say it's the cheapest a feasible a resource, I would say, maybe that's a term. Mm-hmm. And again, mentioned earlier by Jens, cheapest in terms of the consolidated picture, right? So it may make sense to consolidate even more in the bigger and more expensive truck. And I think that also really shows that it's kind of related to the consolidation decision. So you cannot consolidate without having also a capacity in mind in the end. So, and you may, after doing the consolidation decision, you may have to change that if you come to the resource decision, because you may, I don't know, think about one truck and then it's not available. And so you only have the smaller truck. So it's maybe also an iteration here, right? So it's not a linear sequence. That makes it a bit uncomfortable, I guess.
So I think one very good example to illustrate that the cheapest is not always the best is, suppose you just want to transport via the ocean. You go from Hamburg to Newark. You need containers, and you have 20-foot and 40-foot containers. And usually, in practice, a 40-foot container is always more expensive than a 20-foot container. But usually, one 40-foot container is cheaper than two 20-foot containers. So that's a general rule, I think, in practice. So if you always put all the goods into 20-foot containers, you always pick the cheapest resource, but overall the global cost would be higher than you That's use right. all the 40-foot containers. And I think one rule of thumb would be use as many 40-foot containers as possible, and for the remaining goods, you may choose the cheaper one.
Yes.
But here you have one example where the globally cheaper solution consists of many expensive instances and one cheap one.
And again, I think it's one aspect here is that choosing the resource, of course, is also related to the routing decision. So if, for example, I have the big truck, but I cannot go with that big truck to that tiny little location in downtown Heidelberg, then it's cheap but unfeasible. So it's all related.
Yeah.
But I'm afraid that's not all I have to decide.
Yeah, we already mentioned two different businesses. So one business in transportation may cover an own fleet. So if you have own trucks, usually you also need own drivers to drive the trucks. So you also need to choose the right one. And if you don't have an own fleet, you would be using a road carrier. So you subcontract the freight order to a road carrier. And usually you don't work with just one road carrier, but you have a few of them as alternatives. And then the decision is also to choose the right road carrier within Germany. So these are two additional assignment decisions after you have decided the truck or the truck type. In case of own fleet, you need the driver decision. And if it's not own fleet, you need the carrier decision. So these are additional assignment decisions to be made.
Okay. And then again, you have an interdependency, right? So the driver needs the right license for the resource, and the resource must be able to go to the location in the right sequence. Or maybe this carrier does offer that service, but not as fast. So I have a reference to the scheduling decision I made earlier. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. I think we are almost done with the decisions, but there are two more, I can imagine. So just to mention them shortly, if you have goods from A to B, and you know that it's certain products and quantities, you may want to decide about the packaging. So which goods can be consolidated into cartons, which cartons can be consolidated into pallets. So that's the packaging decision, which would end up in a packaging hierarchy, which then could be executed in a warehouse. That's one big area.
Which is covered by a podcast episode, by the way.
Surprise, surprise. that's covered already. And another thing, once you have built those pallets by the package building, you need to decide how to place the goods inside a truck in the cargo space. And we have a module called load planning for that, which has the task to physically position the different pallets inside a truck with the XYZ dimension, considering stackability constraints. We can support double deck trucks and so on. So that's an own planning engine called load planning.
Load space optimization, is that the same thing? Or load
planning? I think these are synonyms. Okay. I prefer to call it load planning. I think the we have an optimizer engine, which is called load space optimization. So these are synonyms.
Okay. And guess what? Yep. We have an episode about it.
Okay. It's about optimization in general, right?
Or about load space optimization, about this decision, part of the decision. Okay, so wrap up maybe, just to get it right. So we have to decide about the routing of the freight unit. Then we have to decide, which ends up in stages. Then I decide on for every single stage, can I combine it? Or should I? Can I combine it with something? So the consolidation decision, which goes together with maybe with a resource decision. So do I put it on a truck or on rail? I think that's also one option. Maybe ocean sometimes or air freight. The resource decision, then I have the sequencing. So how within that transport, what is the right sequence of stops for the truck? For the freight units, I made the decision before. Timing, scheduling constraints, how to pack goods, whom to use, so carrier/driver. And then finally, how to position stuff on a truck. All those are the decisions that I have to take in the end. However, our focus today will be the what we call the consolidation, maybe also the resource assignment decision. So maybe a bit of history. So we came to the recording the podcast actually from a very basic question. So we had a customer network meeting. We had a talk to one of our newer customers, and then they came up with a basic question. Okay, how do I plan a freight unit? And that led us in the end here. So and this how do I plan a freight unit today? The focus is really how do I assign a freight unit stage towards a capacity, transportation capacity. So what we defined here as the consolidation and maybe slash resource decision. That is the focus. And to narrow it even more down or to have better focus, we talk about how to do that in the transportation cockpit. There are also ways outside the cockpit, but today we really want to focus on how to do that in the transportation.
So which are the options exactly that a user have?
Yeah.
Yes.
So we narrow it really down, but still, you will see still a lot of options for different focuses. Okay.
Yeah, and I think the transportation cockpit is the main user interface for the planner, where he can make manual decisions for those assignment questions and the consolidation decisions. But it's also the entry point where you can trigger semi-automatic planning, which we call the transportation proposal, and automatic planning, which is represented by the vehicle scheduling and routing optimizer or by a load consolidation. So these are the big three theoretical options: manual, semi-automatic, or fully automatic. And I think right now, maybe it's good to deep dive into the manual part. Otherwise,
I
think that's clear.
Otherwise, we lose the focus. And there's, anyway, there is an about optimization and how to use it. We also have an episode, so if you want to learn about how all those decisions are done parallel or partially sequentially, automatically or semi-automatically, there is an episode, an earlier episode about that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think in order to keep it simple, I would say, let's just consider we have some freight units, we have trucks, which could either represent own fleet or multi-resources used for subcontracting, but let's just talk about resource for now. Yeah. And we want to consolidate freight units into freight orders. So,
okay, so let's focus
the most
on
simple case, I would say.
So let's understand it right. So road planning, so simple case just to go through the options, and then later maybe we may apply it also to, I don't know, rail or something.
Exactly.
But start simple.
Exactly. The principal approach, it's always the same. But I think let's keep that example. Otherwise we get lost in too many options and documents. So freight units are the demands. The resources are the available capacities. We want to create a plan which is represented as freight orders.
Yeah.
And freight orders specify how the freight units get consolidated. I think that's the starting point. And I think the first question is, as discussed before, what are the freight unit stages? So do we need a hub or don't we need a hub in between? I think there are several options. The first is you can manually split any freight unit stage into multiple stages. And you can also manually revert that operation. So you can merge stages.
Exactly, yeah. I can confirm that.
So basically it means in our scenario, the question is, if we just do land transportation, do we consolidate goods at one hub? Maybe then use bigger trucks to bring them to another hub and then do the distribution in the target area. So that's the first decision we have to make. And we can make that manually. We can also use a default route. A default route could specify, for example, that all goods that go from the southwest of Germany towards the south northeast of Germany, they should go through one hub in the southwest corner and one hub in the northeast corner. I hope I didn't mix it up.
Yeah, so you have one region, you go to another region, and you have two hubs in different regions again.
Yeah, to make it more simple. So we have one source region, one destination region, each has one hub, and you could specify a default route that all the goods that are picked up in the source region have to be brought to the hub in that area, and the same is valid for the distribution in the target region. So you could do that. And you can apply the default route already during freight unit building. So very early decision making, fully automatic. It's very good. But you could also trigger it manually in the cockpit or in the document. So there is a nice button, apply default route. And then if you have initially just one freight unit stage, after that action, you will see the individual stages according to the default route.
Maybe you just mentioned the button. I think short excurs I would like to take is maybe talking about, because we introduced the freight unit, we introduced planning, and we thought it's in the transportation cockpit. Maybe we should also spend a few words on what is that transportation cockpit altogether. How do I, very in brief, because I think that is worth an episode and we don't have one, but just introduce it in brief. What is the cockpit? What is,
The transportation cockpit. It is the central user interface that you use to make planning decisions. We have the challenge, very many, very different businesses all need to be covered by TM. And we don't want to invent a new UI for every new business. Like you do ocean consolidation, air consolidation, truck and trailer planning, road transportation, including hubs, without hubs, with drivers, with carriers. I think there is an exponential number of different businesses.
And basically, yeah, everyone needs different parts.
Exactly. Every different business needs different documents, different information.
And yet it's similar what they do, but different, right? So it's comparable, but not exactly the
exactly.
same.
Exactly. And we want to just offer one UI, which can be configured according to your needs. So if you are a big company that has road transportation in Germany, ocean transportation between Germany and US, and road transportation in the US, you may have very different UIs for the three different businesses, but the transportation cockpit offers you to configure it accordingly, so by the page layout concept. And for Germany, you could have a layout that shows the freight units, the freight orders, and the truck types, maybe a map. And if in the US you know the map isn't that important, you just leave it away.
Okay.
And in that way, every company can configure the cockpit for every business according to the needs of those users. And that means all businesses could be planned by one transportation cockpit functionality, but used with different configurations, which are the page layouts. Okay. You can even configure, Bernd, since you mentioned the buttons, if you want to use default routes in Germany but not in the US, you can configure that the German page layout for the cockpit offers the default route application functionality. And if the US colleagues don't need it, you just switch it off.
Okay. So to make it short, a layout defines the visualized elements in a cockpit. So what are the lists? And then with that, do I see freight units or freight unit stages maybe? Or do I see them hierarchically or just as a flat list? It defines what do I see on that list, so do I have certain buttons or not, to not confuse users, but really have only the available buttons. And also the special elements like maps, Gantt chart, load plan, 3D, fancy stuff. You can define if you want to see it in a certain context for a certain business. And would I be able also to have, let's say, if I have different steps within planning, that I switch as one user between layouts for different steps? Or is it kind of nailed down, this role has this layout?
No, you can arbitrarily switch between different page layouts. So you can make the first planning decisions based on page layout one. And once those decisions have been made, you may need another page layout. So you just switch to it and then you make the next decisions.
Okay, so I can stay in the cockpit, don't have to save it and re-enter. Okay,
exactly.
Fancy.
I mean, you can do both. You can have everything in one planning session, just switch the page layout. But if you are the planner and you want to make all decisions in a row without leaving the cockpit, you can do that by just switching the page layout.
Okay. I mean, I don't want to dive too deep into it. Could I even use more than one monitor maybe?
Yes. I think since two releases, we offered to distribute the page layout on two or three screens even, which is very useful if you have many different objects at hand. You want to make consolidation decisions. You have long lists of freight units, freight orders, and truck types or trucks. And it's very nice to, for example, put the whole geographical view, the map, on screen number one. If you operate an own fleet, you may need the Gantt chart. You put that on screen number two. And if you care about additional details like load planning or a stop-based hierarchy of freight orders, you can put that on a third screen. And then you have just more space for planning. That's the main message.
So especially for more complex scenarios, this helps a lot, right? Or
yeah, I mean, if you have many objects to handle with and you have just one screen and you have three lists on one screen, then that means every list has less columns and less rows. And if you are a planner and need to care about a few thousand of freight units and a few hundred of freight orders, and if you only see 20 of them maybe sometimes that's not enough information to make good decisions quickly.
And as you mentioned, all the decisions earlier, so the like for the routing decision of the thread order, maybe the map might be the right tool for the scheduling, the Gantt chart. But of course, it's not, let's say, either or, so and that makes it possible. Okay, but to make it short, so the cockpit have a lot of monitors where you can show a lot of different elements. I think we will come how to use that to to redo the planning then in the next step. And maybe one more thing. So how do I get my freight units and resources, just in brief? How do I can bring them into the cockpit?
There are several options. I think the most, well, the most simple approach is the selection criteria. So you have a dialogue screen where you can specify certain criteria, for example, to choose freight units by their source location or by their time.
Okay.
Freight orders and resources according to their names, documents, organization units, whatever. So that's the selection criteria.
So I start the transportation cockpit just to get it right, and then I'm welcomed by this screen, and then I can enter that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's a separate screen. Then you press continue, and then you jump into the cockpit with the documents and resources specified on the selection criteria. I think that's the most easy thing to get started.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a big company with many users that use different planning scenarios and they help each other, sometimes the guy in Germany also plans for Italy and vice versa, and all have different configurations of how to enter the cockpit. This is not that useful. For that, we introduced the profile and layout set concept, which allows you to centrally specify the objects to be selected, the page layout to be used, the capacities to be used, and all that. You can specify that centrally by some power user or administrator and assign that to the different planners. And that's, I think, the most professional approach, which is used by big companies, which may have even hundreds or a few hundred of different transportation businesses. And if a planner has to work in 20 or 50 different businesses, it would be very error-prone if every planner had to define all that locally for himself. That's error-prone, a lot of effort. It's just a mess. And that's why we introduced the
selection profile
profile and layout sets that can be administered centrally, and then you can assign the users to it, and then you have very good control of all the different options, and every planner then sees those options that are designed for him.
Okay, and that includes then I think the layouts as the name which we dove in, but also what are the freight units? So the selection that you described earlier, like these locations, that can be then, I guess, described within that
Profile. There is there are certain profiles to define that. It's called a selection profile. And suppose that you are a company operating in Europe, and you have one planner who plans Germany, one who plans Italy, one who plans Spain, and so on. You would have a selection profile that collects all the freight units within Germany, then another one for all those in Italy, and another one for all those in Spain. And then you would have three rows that you offer. And the first row has the meaning, if I want to plan in Spain, choose this one. If I want to plan in Germany, choose this one.
And then this implies for Germany that it has a selection of the freight unit, it has the right layout, and most likely also a way to select the trucks or capacities.
Exactly. You can choose the available trucks, and you can also choose the already planned freight orders. So if you plan multiple times during a day, you may want to review already the freight orders that you created in the morning, and maybe in the afternoon there are some new demands and you want to add them to the already planned freight orders.
That sounds like a very good starting point for our actual topic of today. So so now I'm in the afternoon, I already had some planning, I enter the transportation cockpit with a certain layout combination, and so what I see a list of freight units, I see a list of resources that now we said trucks in my cockpit. I see an empty map, maybe. I see a Gantt chart. And I also see maybe a hierarchy of freight orders in that cockpit. And now I have a list of unplanned freight unit stages, as I learned earlier, freight unit stages here. So what can I do to change that, to have only planned freight unit stages, which I guess would be my job?
So the most easy one would be call the optimizer and done.
Okay, thank you. Then thanks for today. And
yep. Okay, the next easy one would be ask the transportation proposal for the freight unit. It would give you some options. You can choose among them.
Can I select which freight units I want to apply the transportation proposal to? Or is it always all of the freight units?
It should be one. So you should call that per one single freight unit.
And for the optimizer, maybe going back, same question, so I can select the freight
unit? So for the vehicle scheduling and routing optimizer, you could select 1,000 freight units, throw them to the optimizer, and then the optimizer would create maybe 20 different freight orders based on the right truck types chosen. The transportation proposal would make a proposal for one selected demand document. So you choose one freight unit, ask the proposal, then the proposal would offers you some options, and then you choose among them, and then it's planned. These are the more advanced options.
Okay. That's what he called automatic and semi-automatic.
Exactly. So the VSR optimizer is called the automatic approach. The transportation proposal, I would call it semi-automatic, because the system automatically creates a proposal, but the user has to manually choose among them. So it's semi-automatic. For the sake of completeness, the load consolidation optimizer is also able to consolidate freight units into freight orders automatically, but it has certain limitations and a special focus between one source and one destination. It can also include the load planning aspect, so it can position the pallets of the freight units inside the trucks automatically, but it has that limitation regarding one source and one destination. So for the routing space that we talked a lot before, that wouldn't be the best tool. That's worth also an own session later on.
Yes.
So I think for now, let's assume we can do all that planning automatically. We know that. That's Owen's podcast. Now let's deep dive into want to do it manually.
Exactly.
Right?
So the third option that you mentioned, right?
Exactly.
I want to earn my money with my own hands, yes.
Yes. What are the options? So you mentioned already you can have many different content objects in the cockpit, like the map, the gun chart, lists, hierarchies, and so on. Let's make it very simple. Let's assume we just have freight unit stages in one list. We have a list of available trucks, so truck resources, and we have a list of freight orders.
Already existing freight orders.
Yes.
Okay,
which and initially, you have 1,000 freight units. You start working today. Mm-hmm. There is no freight order at all. So how do we consolidate them?
Yeah.
So I think there are, again, many options. The first option would be if there is a freight unit for which you know I directly want to create a freight order and I don't care about the truck type. I could either directly create a freight order in the freight order list. There is a button to create a new document. Create that, and then afterwards assign the freight unit to it. That assignment decision can be made by drag and drop. So you can drag the freight unit stage, put it onto the freight order. You can alternatively select the freight unit stage and the freight order. So in two different lists, objects are selected. And then you can use the Assign Selected Items button in the global toolbar of the cockpit, which automatically then assigns all the demand documents to the capacity document, the freight order at hand. So the impact would be the same. So you can select multiple freight orders, throw them by drag and drop onto a freight order.
So you can select freight units.
Freight
units, okay.
So if you have multiple freight unit stages, you can select them, and with drag and drop, you can throw them onto one existing freight order. Or you select the target freight order and then press the button assign selected items.
Okay. What is the reason that you have both options? It sounds like maybe accessibility or because you said you can do both. What is the pro and con? I think for me, obvious, sounds like drag and drop is not really an accessible way. So the other option is definitely one that is accessible, right?
That's a very good question, Bernd.
Thank you. I thought a long time about that.
I mean, what are the differences? So drag and drop, I think, it's very intuitive. You are used to it from your operating system. Mm. You drag and drop files from one folder to another one. So I think that's very common practice. That's very useful. The drag and drop has the advantage. You define the source and the destination. So you, in the example that you move the freight units to the freight order. Mm. If you selected some freight units and a freight order, there is no sequence what to bring on what. I mean, semantically, the system knows that you want to assign the freight units to the freight order. Yeah. But we also have another option that's maybe a little side step now. You can put a freight order, you can drag and drop a freight order on a freight order. And what does it what does it make? It pulls the freight units out of the source freight order and assigns them to the destination freight order. The drag and drop defines this direction. So with drag and drop, you can do that. The assigned selected items isn't that powerful because you have selected both freight orders and you don't know what's the source and what's the destination.
But on the other hand, I guess, I mean, drag and drop sounds like I have one source and one target. And for like assign, I would guess that I could also select, I don't know, maybe freight units and a truck, maybe and a trailer or something. And if I then press assign, it could, let's say, look into, I have three objects selected. Okay, I make use of all three, which is, again, they're not possible with a drag and drop, right? Is that maybe one of the differences?
I would say drag and drop has more options. So there is one option that is not possible in the assigned selected items. That's the one I mentioned before.
And I think maybe for drag and drop, as far as I know, you can also define like a drop target. So you can, if you drop the freight unit stage, let's say on a specific stop, if this freight order that you mentioned earlier would already have like 10 stops and it goes AB, AB, AB all day, and you model that as one odd document. I think with a drag and drop, you can even choose where exactly to drop it. So use a second or third or fifth iteration.
I think drag and drop is very useful. You gave a good example. If you have a freight order with which has 10 stops and you want to change the stop sequence, you could just take one stop, for example, stop number 2, and move it after stop number 7. Mm-hmm. And that is something that you can do very comfortably in the freight order stop-based hierarchy, which shows the freight order on level 1 and the stops on level 2. So you can replan even the stops very, very nicely with drag and drop, which I think it's much more usable than if you manually had to move up a certain row from stop number 2 to stop number 55. So if we have really many stops, the drag and drop is useful.
Okay, and I think maybe also if you have compartments, I would guess, and you want to define, okay, I have two different compartments, and then let's say they are comparable in their capabilities, and then still I want to decide if I go to A or compartment 1 or 2, then maybe I could also define that by drag and drop, or is it like a random distribution then?
You should be able to throw it to a compartment, and I think there is also some logic that tries to find the right compartment.
I think so too. So if you really drop it on a specific compartment, then it really assigns it there, but then if you just drop it on truck level, then you kind of leave the decision open to the manual planning engine, in that case, or to Peter, where to put it, and there's some heuristics behind to pick the first fitting one, I guess. Okay. And with assigned selected items, I think you couldn't do that, but on the other hand, you could maybe select the freight unit, and you could select, okay, we come to that later, maybe a truck and a trailer, and then press assign, and then the truck and the trailer and the freight unit would be planned all together, which would not be possible with drag and drop, I guess, because you can, you cannot drop on two targets so easily, and you can also not easily
track.
Okay. But I think the system should always tell you if you have many freight units and you select multiple freight orders and press assign selected items, the system will tell you.
Doesn't make sense. What I mean is I don't have freight orders yet, and I assign, or maybe we come to it later if we talk about other ways. Maybe then there's a additional capabilities of assign selected item button compared to drag and drop becomes more clear.
I think these were the first two important options, so drag and drop and assign selected items. And it was, so far we only talked about freight units and freight orders.
Yeah.
But you can use that functionality also if you want to make the decision about the truck or the truck type. You can do many decisions together. You can create a freight order, then assign a freight unit, and afterwards assign a truck resource to the freight order. But I think it's more convenient if you want to make the truck decision to directly assign a freight unit to a truck. And you can do that by assign selected items or by drag and drop. And if you do that, the system would automatically create a new freight order for you with all those freight units that you have selected. So you, coming back to the original example, if you had three freight units with sources in Heidelberg, Mannheim, and Frankfurt, you can select all three. The cockpit, by the way, has a very nice functionality to show the total volume and weight for the selected documents. So with that functionality, you see a yellow row, orange row, that shows you the totals. And based on that, if you see it's 20 tons, then you can look in the resource list. If you have a 14-ton truck and a 25-ton truck, then you directly know the smaller one is not good enough. And then you make the decision which truck type to choose. And then you can drag and drop the freight units to that, to the right truck type. And as a result, you get the freight order for that 25-ton truck. So that's, I think, a more convenient approach if you want to make the truck type decisions. Why not directly drag and drop to the truck instead of consecutively creating a freight order and then afterwards choosing the right truck type?
I think maybe we forgot. Oh, no, okay, no, we come to it later. Or one thing which may make also sense, coming back to your first, to the assign or drag and drop a freight unit to an existing freight order. You mentioned I can do that in a freight order list or hierarchy, but you earlier also mentioned that you have a map or a Gantt chart where I could also look at, I think, in the end, look at the freight orders described here. Would it also work there so that I drop it on a freight order on a map or a freight order in a Gantt chart?
Yes, so the assign selected items works for all objects selected in any content object in the cockpit. So you can choose a freight unit on the map. You can choose a resource in the Gantt chart. And using assign selected items, you create a freight order, which then would be displayed maybe in a freight order list that you have on a third screen. So whatever you selected on any screen in the page layout, in any list, gets considered when you call the assign selected items option. That is, by the way, one advantage. Because if you wanted to do that with a drag and drop, there are some limitations. We can't drag something from a list onto a map or from a list onto a Gantt chart. So that's not possible yet. The drag and drop works within the map. So you can pull freight units and put them to a resource shown on the map or on a freight order shown on the map, which, by the way, is a very nice tool if you want to optimize huge freight orders with many stops. On the map, you directly see whether the routing is good or not. If you see the stop sequence in a table or in the Gantt chart, you have no clue whether it's good or not. The map is the perfect tool if you want to optimize the routing, by the way. Yeah. And so you can do that in the map, drag and drop. You can do the same in the Gantt chart. So in the Gantt chart, you may have one view that lists the freight unit stages, one view that lists the available trucks. So there you can just drag and drop a freight unit a freight unit rectangle in the Gantt chart into the row of the corresponding truck, and then a new road freight order gets created. So drag and drop works within the Gantt chart. As said before, it also works within the map. And then it also works between all lists and hierarchies that we have.
Okay.
So and by the way, one interesting point, since you mentioned the three monitor case, you can have freight units on screen one, freight orders on screen two, lists. And trucks on screen three. And then you can drag and drop a freight unit from the first to the third screen onto the truck. And as a result, you create a freight order, which is immediately shown on screen number two. So you can even drag and drop across multiple screens.
Okay. So the limitation is not for drag and drop, is not the current limitation. And we have 2020, by the way. And we talk about 1909 as for release as our latest one. So current limitation would be you cannot drag and drop between, let's say, lists / hierarchies and map and Gantt chart. But within the map, within the Gantt chart, you can also do what we described earlier. Yes. So you could also see freight units there and freight orders or resources maybe, and then put them or do that drag and drop or assign within the elements. And this assign action that you mentioned earlier, that works across all the elements. Okay, so at least we identified another use case for it beside, which would not be supported by drag and drop today.
And coming to the selection of the freight units, maybe one very interesting aspect on the map is the capability to display freight units as triangles. So their destination location is shown as a triangle. And you can use a lasso function on the map to select documents on the map. Okay. So if you have a cluster of customers in the north and in the south of your DC, which is in the middle, you can just use a lasso to very easily fetch all those demands in the north of your DC. Then you have selected them. So you just create a new freight order by assign selected items. And then you do the same for the south. And such kind of geographical selection, think about how would you want to do that in a list? I think you have no chance to
and
do
if,
that.
And on the other hand, I think if the timing is very critical, maybe you would do that within the Gantt chart where you have like a truck that goes all the time A, B, A, B, but the timing is important one. Exactly. Then you would, by dropping it on a certain point in time, you would implicitly define when to start. By the way, we talked about, okay, we create a freight order. Maybe one aspect of that is also, okay, what is the freight order type? Where does it come from? Is it already scheduled or not? You said this is a separate decision, but I also want to see it on the Gantt chart. Maybe some few words on that. So how, when I do that drag and drop, how is the freight order type actually determined?
In the planning profile, there is a definition per business object type. If you create a road freight order, which freight order type should be used for that?
Okay.
You can specify that. There is the way to determine that by a condition. But I think in many cases, you have the different capacity document types listed in the planning profile, like ocean booking, air booking, road freight order, rail freight order, and then all the TUs and so on. And for all of them, you can specify the type that is to be chosen if you create a new document of that kind. So that's one good option to choose between the different flight order
and
types.
And if it's, for example, weight dependent or so, then I would use the conditions to find it. By the way, there's an episode about it as well, about conditions as such, not conditions in planning context here. Okay, so if it's weight-based, I would use conditions. Otherwise, it's pretty fine. And if the scheduling is applied or not, is that also something that I can configure?
Yes, certainly. So basically, in the planning profile, there is a special profile which we call the scheduling settings. And in the scheduling settings, you can specify how scheduling is to be performed. So there is an own engine. You can specify whether you want to schedule forward or backward, whether you want to consider time windows, so the requested pickup and delivery times for the freight units at hand. So there are many things that you can configure and that have an impact on scheduling. You can define all those parameters in the scheduling settings. And additionally, you have to specify the manual planning strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And the manual planning strategy defines whether scheduling shall be run or not.
Okay.
And in all cases, or almost all cases, I'm aware of, you would want to do a scheduling.
Okay. It's maybe only if you have very complex scenarios where the scheduling is a dedicated separate step, or maybe if you use schedules, which where exactly. No scheduling applies. Then.
Yeah. So if you use only schedules, then you don't need the scheduling engine. So in those cases, you may skip that.
So ocean schedules for
example, yeah. Yes, nothing
something like that.
Exactly. By the way, that planning strategy is a process controller strategy. And guess what? There's an episode about process controller if you want to deep dive into that one as well. Okay. Mm-hmm. Good. So now we covered the direct creation where I assign a freight unit to a freight order with drag and drop. Mm-hmm. Or with assigned selected item that can be done on different elements, as we learned. There are some limitations to do it between elements. We also learned about how to create a freight order by doing similar thing, but assign it to a resource. Is that about it, or are there more ways to create freight orders?
I think these are the most common ones. There is also an option if you don't yet know whether you want to ship something by ocean or by air, or you want to make the road versus rail decision. You may have a freight unit that goes from A to B, and maybe depending on the volume, you want to decide whether I pick road or rail. There are explicit buttons that allow you to create a road freight order for a set of selected freight units. And there is also an analogous button to create a rail freight order. And there are more buttons, guess what, about to create a ocean booking, air booking, and so on. And if you want to make those mode decisions, you can bring all those buttons for the modes that you are interested in into the cockpit. And then in the freight unit list, you could have a look at freight units and then judge on criteria whether you want to create explicitly one road freight order or a rail freight order. So that's another option.
Okay, that's kind of a shortcut of what we described earlier, where you, with a button, created the freight order and assigned the freight unit in a separate step.
Exactly.
So that's kind of integrating that into one
click.
So save me a click kind of thing.
Yes.
Okay, sounds like makes sense. So most likely, the first option you described is there maybe for the sake of completeness, or if I already have freight orders, but sounds like doesn't make sense to really create the freight order separately and then use the button. Maybe the only difference is there something more that I can define if I create the freight order separately?
There are some businesses where you want to create freight orders upfront, maybe even inform your carriers already about it, maybe do some tendering.
Okay.
But you don't know yet what are the freight units assigned to it. So there are some use cases where that definitely makes sense to create empty freight orders first and afterwards add the freight to it. But in most businesses, you would create freight orders based on the freight units at hand. So I think that's the 80% case. But there are some businesses where it's vice versa.
Like I think ocean air freight before Christmas from China to that kind of thing where you need to book well in advance.
So definitely that's another option. Then regarding the assigned selected items, there is another option. which we call command line planning.
Oh, it's more for the
you know that. And basically, it's about you have a list of freight units, a list of freight orders, and you don't want to drag and drop or work a lot with the mouse, but you just want to say, I see that freight unit number 1 and freight unit number 7 in the list should go to truck number 3 in the list. Mm-hmm. You can use command line planning, and then you add something like plus 1, plus 7, plus 40, and 40 is the resource. So
okay.
By using the indices of the different lists, mm-hmm. you can just hack that in mm-hmm. and get the assignment.
Okay, that's for the, let's say, the keyboard friends in the world. Yeah. And I guess, so I think one prerequisite is, of course, that you activate it and also that you, in the lists, you then use the IDs, because if you would have to type really like the freight unit number, that would be a bit lengthy.
Yeah.
So in here, you would have like a rolling number. I think it starts with counting the freight units.
It's an old index column.
Yeah, and I think it's also not, it's only working in the lists, I think. And the idea... As I did it, maybe. The idea was that you really can also combine it so that you would say, okay, I go scroll through long lists and see, okay, those are the freight units I want to put on that truck type. Those are the freight units I put on the second one. And then you can just write that down and then push it all with one go. And it would kind of create also like 4, 5, 10 freight orders in one go. And so you can even... define additional options like call the optimizer with a certain strategy for that selection, etc. And that's all processed in one UI round trip. It's a bit, let's say, on the nerdy side, I have to admit, but I know that there are also users working that way. I think maybe like remote locations where, let's say, every UI round trip is time consuming because you're on the other side of the world, that may be your use case. You are, want to work keyboard focused. Maybe another one, or define a lot of stuff, or just like it. That's
and by the way, this was quite useful when we did some test automation. So we had a planning scenario with many different steps where multiple freight units had to be assigned to resources. And as far as I know, when automating such things, we used the principle of assigning indices, documents with indices to that. So the abstract idea is also heavily used in our development process.
Okay. And I think what happens in the background, maybe it's also worth mentioning, if you do a drag and drop or do an assign selected items or command line planning, everything, let's say, that is mainly where you say, okay, combine this and that with certain parameters, but the engines running in the back end are the same, it's, or is it different? Or
it's all the same. In the end, it all goes to the same processing logic, which is the manual planning component. And in the end, all the results are booked in the tour document.
So just different options for the user, right?
Yeah. And I mean, there are so many different options, and that's also one nice thing. So if some user really loves drag and drop, and the other loves assigned selected items, you can configure the cockpit that the one user sees the assigned selected items options and the other doesn't see it. And command line planning also need to be activated. Mm-hmm. So that's all configurable. And I think we shouldn't miss one other option, which is quite interesting. Mm-hmm. If you choose the truck type, we introduced a few releases ago editable fields. So if you have a freight order, and you want to choose the truck type or change the truck type, mm-hmm. there is an editable field in the freight order list, which shows the truck ID. Mm-hmm. And you can just go to that field, hack in the alternative truck, press enter, and then the assignment operation is done. So that's the same operation as if you did a drag and drop of that freight order to another resource, mm-hmm. or if you selected a different resource and the freight order and use the assigned selected items.
Mm.
So that's another equivalent option to make assignment decisions. You can't use that to assign freight units to freight orders, but you can use it if you want to assign any freight order to a truck or a driver or even a carrier.
Is it even mass enabled? Can I also enter the same value like for 10 different freight orders?
There is a nice dialogue.
Okay.
So you can choose multiple documents.
Mm.
Then there is a mass change option, which raises a pop-up, and in the pop-up you can change certain values like the truck type, maybe the start time, the carrier, and whatever you want. And when you press OK, the values entered are applied to all of the documents at the same time, which is very useful. If you know tomorrow morning there is a big problem at a location, everything has to start 2 hours later, then you select all those freight orders and you say instead of starting at 8, they all should start at 10, and then all of them are rescheduled at 10. So that's a very nice and powerful option.
Okay. Good. I think we have to wrap up for today. I think just to, I'm as an order management guy, I just want to mention that this is not all options to assign a freight unit to a freight order. There's more, but most likely we'll cover that in a separate episode. So you can very briefly also assign freight units, let's say from within the freight order single UI, and you can remove, by the way, you can also remove, also invert. Maybe one thing we should mention is that you have undo, right? That you can activate undo here. So if you did a mistake, I think it's not a problem. So it's a cool thing, I think, within SAP world, at least to have that undo.
And even if you make a mistake during undo, you can redo.
Ooh.
You can undo the undo.
That's nice.
That's nice. Okay. I think it's also important to know so that it's, and I think pretty uncommon so far in SAP world. And we also worth mentioning is that in the order management, in the single UIs can do it, you can go in the freight unit and even forwarding order UIs and do assignments and removals. But I think that's worth another episode. That's not all options you have for planning, but as the topic for today was the very focused one, freight units, planning freight unit stages in the transportation cockpit. We, were able to really narrow that down and have a very brief discussion on only that.
So we covered the main options and...
I think so. The manual ones. And then I think a lot of, I think I never had an episode with so many plugs to other podcast episodes, a new record. Thanks a lot.
And planning everything comes together.
Exactly.
It's a global view. So many options.
Yeah. Okay. Jan, thanks a lot. I think we should also have another episode about a deep dive into the cockpit because that sounds very configurable. But thanks a lot for that overview and deep dive partially. And thanks for listening. Thanks to Lars for asking the questions.
Yes.
And goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye.
Bye.